Miss Amy and Dalton are not here tonight. Somebody has got to be the responsible parent. Can I get a witness? I took him coon hunting till 3 o'clock in the morning this morning. And then made him get up and go to school at 6:30 this morning. And I figure if you're going to be dumb, you better learn to be tough early on in life. And so I told him, he said, Daddy, I want to go. I said, I want to tell you something. In the morning, I said, I don't want to hear a sigh, a grunt, a moan. I said, you better get up and go to school like you love it. And he faked it pretty good. But he did see what we did to that coon last night. He may have been a little nervous that might happen on his end of the situation. But they, Miss Amy said to tell you hello. She wished they could be here. And I'm honored to be here tonight. I got some real encouraging news when I came in the door this afternoon. One of the brothers here, who shall remain nameless for the security of his life and family's sake, came up to me and said, you're not going to believe this. He said, somebody came up to him Sunday and said, who's preaching Wednesday night? They said, Brother Jonathan McNeese. They said, oh, we love Brother Jonathan. Isn't that Brother Dean's son? Hallelujah. So I'm glad to know my old daddy done good here Sunday. Boy, he's still carrying on for the Lord in his old age. Amen. What a blessing. He's a little senile, but he's still in it for the Lord. Amen. That's always a blessing when I get reports like that. If you will, I know you just got sat down and settled in. And I will ask you to stand, please. And let's read one verse tonight. It's found in the book of Psalms. It is found in Psalm 104. I'm actually going to read half of a verse tonight, just the first portion of this. And I'm going to bring you a thought prayerfully and hopefully, if the Lord will give me liberty, bring you the thought that the Lord's put in my spirit tonight. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? I'll be honest with you, I don't know why anybody who is saved and going to heaven wouldn't want to be a part of something like this. I mean, I know folk talk about how you don't have to go to church, and they're right, you don't have to. I want to go to church. And I have seen that crowd that has to go, and they look like they have to be there. But thank God, I'm glad I'm running around with a want-to crowd tonight. Well, I'm glad tonight. Hey, listen, if you don't like what we're doing here, you're probably not going to be real comfortable when we get over there. And I promise you this. You let us get a glorified body and shed this robe of flesh and thank God all the failure and all the weariness that we carry in this garment of flesh. Thank God what a day, glorious day that's going to be. And I bless His name. I think church ought to be a little bit like heaven on earth. Amen. Psalm 104, look with me at verse number 16. The very first part of this verse is what I want to look at. One phrase. Matter of fact, read it with me out loud. Can you do that? We're probably all reading from the same Bible tonight. This shouldn't be a problem. Psalm 104, verse 16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. Heavenly Father, I want to ask you tonight to touch our heart. Lord, may the Word of God have preeminence tonight. Lord, I know my own ability and lack thereof. God, I know my own failures and I know my own weakness. And God, I'm not here for self-promotion. But Lord, I'm here that the Word of God and the Spirit of God may join together. God, may they change me. May they change us tonight. God, may I not just be a vessel that pours out this word, but God, may you wash me in the process, and God, may you work on me while you're working on us. I love you, Lord. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for this church, God. Thank you for your word that you're going to meet with us tonight. I love you, and I thank you in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. The Bible says in our text verse, that the trees of the Lord are full of sap. As I begin to look at this verse, I'm reminded that the psalmist said in Psalm verse number 1, that if we are walking with the Lord, that we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Do you remember when the Lord touched the eyes of the blind man and he was halfway healed and the Lord said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. I think it's not a stretch tonight to say that you and I are the trees of the Lord. Matter of fact, if you and I are the trees of the Lord, then what is this sap that we are supposed to be filled with? I want to say, I know we're in a Baptist church, but you just take a deep breath and grab a hold of your Bible, please. The trees of the Lord, as believers, if we are full of sap, that sap is a picture of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I want to go on record as saying I am a Baptist from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. But I am a Baptist that believes that there are three members of the Trinity. It is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I know that there's a whole flock of people that try to live like there is no Holy Ghost. But I want you to listen to me. I do not have Jesus Christ in bodily form where I can access Him tonight. I have not touched the hands that hold the scars in them. But thank God, there's one member of the Trinity that not only have I touched Him, but thank God He's touched me. The Holy Ghost is a real person to me. Can I make this statement, see if I can get somebody that agrees with me? The Holy Ghost is not a something. He is a somebody. Well, I may have wandered into a place that believes like I do tonight. He's not a something. He is a somebody. By the way, he is not something that we advertise. He is not something that we promise. He is somebody that walks with us. Thank God He talks with us. He lives down inside of our heart. I've seen churches try to manipulate the Holy Spirit and use Him as some sort of advertisement campaign. Try to use Him as some kind of hook to get people to come to the house of God. Listen to me. He is not something that we use. He is somebody that uses us. And as the trees of the Lord, we are full of sap. Let me say this right here. Thank God. When I got born into the family of God, I'm going to preach right here. When I got born into the family of God, I got all of the Holy Ghost I was ever going to get. Some of you sound a little nervous to say amen right there. Let me just try it one more time. Your preacher just agreed, so it'd be a good thing for you to pick up on. When I got saved, I got all the Holy Ghost I was ever going to get. But I'll tell you what has been happening since October the 15th, 1985. I've not been getting more of the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost has been getting more of me. Amen goes right there. The fullness of the Spirit is not a second baptism. It's not another filling. It is me emptying myself. And thank God, let the Holy Ghost have His way in my life. We as children of God, we ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now, I began to study this, and I began to study the ministry of sap in the life of a tree. And when I saw some things here, it was clear to me that this sap in our text is a picture of what the Holy Ghost does in our life. Let me give you this first one, see if anybody likes it beside me. The sap in these trees. The first thing I found in my research is the sap heals the scars of the tree. Well, that felt pretty good. I believe I'll back up and run through there again. The sap heals the scars of the tree. The Holy Ghost inside of me is a healing agent for what is wrong with me. Anybody in here going to be honest enough to admit that there's some stuff wrong with us? Now, praise God, you better holler amen. I'll get your wife to stand up and testify. Oh, yes, I'll have your children share about their drive to church tonight if you don't holler amen. There's some things wrong inside of me. But I'm glad I'm not left to live in that condition. There is a healing agent inside of us. He is the Holy Spirit of God, and it is His job to heal the scars in our life. Brother Ken, I studied, and actually, as I was working on this, me and Brother Jared was coming up the road, and I thought I'd look up a couple of things, and I found this. This is what I read. This wasn't a man talking about the Holy Ghost. This was a man talking about sap and its work in trees. Here's what he said. He said, the sap heals the wounds left behind by pest. We might just ought to hear a little just as I am right now. I think we could every head bow and every eye close about right now. Here's what he said. He said the tree, now remember that's you and I, he said the tree is attacked by pests. Some of y'all, this is your chance to holler amen about them pests been hanging out in your life. Here's what he said. He said that pine beetle, that larva, whatever that pest is, I love this. He said it will get on that tree and it will get under the skin of that tree. Anybody picking up what I'm putting down tonight? How many of you, some of y'all scared to say amen because they're sitting real close to where you are right now. Just pretend like it's somebody else, all right? How many of you know something about some pests that will attach themselves to you and they know just how to get under your skin? I got news for you. Listen to me. It may look like a little old pest. It may look like a little old bug. It may look like a little old nothing in comparison to the size of that tree. But anybody that knows anything about the woods will tell you, you let enough pests go in the wilderness, honey, and they'll devour an entire forest. Them pests. We got a little place up in Tennessee my daddy owns, and that ridge beside the lake was covered with planted pines. I went up there, hadn't been there in about 6 months, and I pulled up to the lake, and across that lake where that beautiful green pine ridge was, it was all completely brown. I asked one of the locals up there, I said, what happened? He said, we got pine beetles. He said, they killed every pine tree within 30 miles of this spot right here. A little old nothing microscopic pest had enough power to wipe out a forest. Let me say something to you. I'm preaching now. How many folk are out of church and dead spiritually because some pests got under their skin? I'm talking about little old bitty things that shouldn't have hurt anybody. Little old bitty things that didn't look like they had the power to kill anything. But they let some pests get under their skin. They let a rumor get under their skin. They let a critical spirit get under their skin. They let a gossiping tongue get under their skin. And they let a pest kill them spiritually. Can I say this tonight? I might as well. I guess it's my turn to talk. I'm going to go ahead and say this. Brother Ken, there's probably more people out of church tonight over pests than there are great big sins. Now, sin's a bad, awful thing, and it'll take you out spiritually. But I dare say, after pastoring 12 years, being in church all of my life in a pastor's home, I've seen more trees of the Lord fall to pests than I ever have big storms. Them pests. Here's what that botanologist said. He said, when those pests invade that tree, glory, hallelujah. I mean, we ain't even through half the first point. I already feel like shouting right here. He said, when those pests invade that tree and they get in the body of that tree, he said immediately, there is a signal sent to the system and the center of that tree. And he said, it rushes sap to the area where the pest has attacked. I want to tell you something, honey. The only way you and I are going to deal with the pests spiritually and not let it kill us is let the Holy Ghost handle it for us.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, they, some of them down there don't like me. And I tell you what, I'm going to go somewhere where they do. I promise you this, wherever you go, there you're going to be. Oh yeah, if you're looking to go to church with just folk that you like, you can't even go to church by yourself half the time. Hey, I love my church family. I thank God for my church family. But I don't go to church because I love everybody there. I go there because that's where God planted me. That's where God put my roots. That's where God put me in His perfect will. It's not a popularity contest. It is being faithful in the place that God stuck us. Those pests will attack, but that sap will flow over the pest, and thank God it brings healing. Watch this. This little book already had this alliterated when I was looking at it. Not only do the pests get healed by that sap, but he said pollution will enter that tree. He said disease can come into that tree, and when disease enters that tree trunk, that sap will begin to flow from the place of infection. I just better make it real plain. Sometimes, as trees of the Lord, we get polluted. Well, I need some honest people to wake up. Sometimes, in the work of God, we get some sin down inside of our system. We get some things that's not pleasing to the Lord. We get some things in us that's not helpful in the kingdom of God. There's things that's wrong. I want you to listen to me. You ought to thank God you go to a church where there's a preacher that's got a backbone enough to stand and preach on sin. Thank God where they're not going to cover it over and smother it over and act like it's all right. Hey, I won't say this. Some things ain't all right. Some things won't do. Some things have no place in the life of a child of God. And you ought to thank God for a preacher who'll tell you the gospel truth. And every time I've ever allowed sin to pollute my system, I promise you this, it wasn't long and the Holy Ghost had done showed up at the area of pollution. Anybody know that conviction is not something that shows up just when you get saved? Holy Ghost inside of you shut down like a pair of vice grips. Grip your heart, grip your soul. Make you short of breath, tighten your lungs up. Make you stay up at night and toss and turn on your bed. Hey, listen to me. That ain't Jiminy Cricket. That ain't a conscience. That's the Holy Ghost of God. And He's coming to the area of infection. And He's trying to heal us from the pollution in our life. That tree gets pollution, it gets sin down in it, and the sap has the ability to cure it. But listen to me, without the sap showing up, that tree never will make it through disease. Listen to this. Listen to this. Not only does it heal the scars of pests and of pollution, Phyllis said this. I was glad Brother Jared was driving. I'd have cleaned out three ditches when I read this. He said, I'm telling you now, he said that the sap heals the scars from pruning. Yay, now. I got a bunch of trees in my yard. Every time the wind blows, I spend the day out there picking up limbs. But can I tell you something? Not all limbs that fall are from the storm. There are times, thank God, when the master of the garden decides it's time to do some pruning. And there are times when he shows up with saw in hand. And, I'm going to preach right here. We may look like we're the biggest tree in the forest. We may look like we got bigger branches than anybody in the forest. We may look like we've really got it all going on, but honey, he knows his forest. He knows the trees. He knows where we need to be cut back, where we need to be cut down, and where we need to be downsized. Sure. Sure. Listen to me. When he shows up a pruning, it hurts sometimes. You ever had God cut some things out of your life that you wasn't quite ready to let go of? You ever had God go to sawing things out of your life that you thought you had to have? Let me say something right here. Listen to me. You ought to be real careful when you're looking over into the life of someone else. I'm trying to help somebody. Because we're not experienced enough to know whether it's the storm shaking loose the dead wood or whether it's God pruning back the things He knows needs to be taken care of. Sometimes you see somebody's life. It looks like it's falling apart. It looks like it's just shattered in a million pieces. And if you're not careful, you'll think you know so much, you'll sit back and begin to analyze and say, well, I tell you right now, I always thought there's something wrong with them. There's always something about them that didn't sit right with me. It looks like they finally get what they deserve. You might ought to shut your big Baptist mouth. It may be the very hand of God that's cutting some things out because He knows what's best for them. By the way, the man that runs the orchard knows that he's a pruning it back, not to cut it down, but to make it better. Somebody should have shouted right there. He's pruning me, not to kill me, but thank God to help me. And boy, when he brings that saw and he begins to cut things off of us that we thought we had to have. Brother Ken, there's never been a time that the Holy Spirit has come by and pruned me that the sap failed to show up. I got to say this. You ever been around them Christians as what's got leaky eyes all the time? I'm talking about them ones you don't want to hug in a white shirt because they'll mess it up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Amen. I know that Maybelline can't make nothing stay on them kind of eyes. Thank God they always tore up. They always leaking. They always cry. You know why that is? It may be because God's been doing some pruning in their life. God's been cutting some things out of their life. And thank God the sap of the Holy Ghost is running in their life. Now, anybody that's been out in the woods very much at all knows this. When you get sap on you, it's hard to get off. You get sap on you. Honey, alcohol won't get it off. Thank God paint thinner won't get it off. Dawn won't get it off. You can scrub it till your hands are bloody. You can't get that sap off. You know what we need in our churches? We need some folk that's got the sap of the Holy Ghost running out of them. And everybody comes in contact with us, gets a little bit of sap on them. They liable to show up at work tomorrow. Somebody say, what got on you? Said, I went down there to Liberty. Them folks got sap all over me last night. Every one of them hugged my neck, just left something on me I can't get off of me. It's healing. It's healing. Had a lady tell me about 6 months ago, been coming to our church visiting. And I emphasis on the word visiting. She said, I'm just not accustomed to seeing people that go to the altar all the time. She said, here's what she said. She said, there must be some real bad people if they've always got to go to the altar all the time. Emphasis was on visiting. Y'all did pick up on that. I said, oh no, ma'am. I was in the Dollar General. We call that the Catala Mall where I live. We was in the mall and she said, one thing about your church is, she said, it bothers me seeing all them people go to the altar over and over. She said, there must be some bad people. Honey, that struck something in me. I went into preach gear right there. I said, we was right there in the middle of the paper towels and the napkins. I said, man, let me tell you something. It ain't them ones that's always a-going that bother me. It's them ones that never have been. That's the ones you better be careful of. It ain't them ones that's got them a place walling out in the carpet. You ought to be afraid of. It's them ones that's never been past the third pew. That's the crowd you better stay away from. I may be a sappy Christian tonight, but it's because he's been doing some cutting on me. And he's cutting me back and he's cutting things off of me. I thought I was really doing good. He come by and cut that limb off. I thought I was really making something. He come by and cut me down. But I want to tell you something, honey. He knows what's good for us. He knows what's best. And he never has cut me that the sap of the Holy Spirit didn't show up to fix where he'd been pruned. Glory. I'm having a time tonight. What do I owe you for preaching in a place like this? I'll give you a love offering after the service. Amen. That sap heals the scars. Can I say this? Some of you fellas, maybe in tree cutting or lemon, you give me an amen if you know what I'm talking about. Let me say this. If a tree has ever been damaged, let's say it had some nails driven in and they were left there. An old fence post was put up and they used the tree for a fence post. They put nails, they put staples in it. Whatever it was, whatever has scarred that tree, that scar is the toughest place on the tree. It'll break your hydraulic splitter you bought from Lowe's when you try to start splitting where those scars have healed. Oh yeah. Yeah. It'll make you regret the day you ever saw a wedge and a mallet. Somebody say amen. Oh, I've been on the end of them enough times. Because where it heals, it's stronger. And can I say to you, in my Christian life, there have been some things that I thought was going to kill me. Well, I'm going to move over here to the Pentecostal side of the Liberty Tabernacle. Can I tell you, there was stuff happening in my life spiritually that I thought was going to kill me. Stuff that I thought I wasn't going to make it through. Stuff that I thought was going to be the end of me. Thank God when the sap showed up. Oh, the healing took place. I am stronger there than I am in the areas where I never hurt before. It's not about being calloused or hard-hearted. It's about being made strong through the healing power of the Holy Ghost of God. Thank God. Watch this. It heals the scars. But number two, the sap holds the strength of the tree. The sap heals the scars, but it holds the strength of the tree. Do you realize that when a tree becomes brittle and it starts dying out in the top, do you know why that is? Because the sap is not flowing through the top part of that tree. Them limbs that come out in the storm, they're never green and wet. They're never oozing out of the broken places. They're always dry and brittle, and they're easy to break because the sap has not been flowing through that tree. Oh, amen. Do you realize tonight that our strength is not in our size? Somebody said, I've been saved 40 years. Well, that's wonderful, but how long have you been living for Jesus? I got news for you. Listen, you have Sunday school pens that date back to the days you was in diapers. I ain't real impressed. Hey, I don't care if you got perfect attendance from Mamaw and Papaw's church when you was a boy. I don't care how long you've been going to church. I don't care what positions you hold. I don't care what titles you have. Our strength is not in our size. Our strength is in the fact that we are filled with sap. Matter of fact, a lot of times it's in big trees that fall in the storm. And them little old saplings will just bend and touch the ground and pop right back up. Because it's not about size and it's not about how large we are. It's about how full we are of the Spirit of the Lord. I found this out when I was studying this. Here's what they tell me. Matter of fact, I'll tell you the story I read that told me about this. Some biologists had created, they called it a dome, and in that dome they had planted trees and flowers and plants, and they were studying all of this plant life. They found out that when the trees reached a certain height, that they begin to die and break off at the top. They couldn't understand it. They had perfect soil. They had perfect water. It was a greenhouse effect. But when the trees got a certain height, they would break and die at the top. After they studied and studied and were perplexed and puzzled, Brother Ken, they learned that the trees were dying because there was no wind in their perfect little atmosphere. I'm going back to the Pentecostals over here. I need a hub around if I'm going to preach in here. There's a lot of ground to cover in this joint. Those trees would grow, and the wind was absent, and they'd break. Here's why. Because when the wind blows on those trees, it bends them. And when it bends, it puts microscopic fractures in the fibers of that tree. And those tiny, almost invisible breaks in the fibers of that tree allow the sap to flow throughout that tree. And they said that the trees were stronger when they are tested by the wind, when they are living in tumultuous environments, because the breaks inside of them allow the sap to travel throughout them. Hey, you won't know why God lets us go through storms. It's not so He can watch us break. It's because He's trying to fill us with the Holy Ghost. And when we bend in the storm, the Holy Ghost moves in our lives. Some of us want to pile up in our little perfect atmosphere and never have any trouble and never have any problems and never have any difficulty. And you may find a way to live that life on the outside. But I want to say for the rest of us who are blown about with the storms of life, well, there's times where we feel like we're going to break, and there's times where we bent further than we ever thought we could. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is moving inside of me while the winds of life are blowing. Let's just take a little survey here tonight. How many of you would agree with me right here that we are closer to God in our storms than we are in our serenity? Oh, yeah. Everything gets going good, we forget about worship. Everything gets going good, we forget about putting a little extra on top of that tithe in the offering. Everything gets going good. We quit praying for others that are hurting around us. Everything's going well. And we just bow up and take all the glory. But you let the storms blow in. You let a child of God get bent over by the trials of this life. I'll show you somebody who'll raise a hand of glory. I'll show you somebody who'll weep on the altar. I'll show you somebody who'll learn how to put in the offering plate. Because as the storms blow us around, the Holy Ghost has more liberty to move in our life. Maybe that's why Paul said that Jesus said to him, "My strength is made perfect in thy weakness." Because the more I'm broken on the inside, glory, the more the sap of the Spirit has opportunity to travel inside of me. Can I say this? Everybody doing all right tonight? Can I say this? I found out, I got to preach right here. I found out, it's going to shock a whole lot of Baptists. All right, y'all ready? Some of you just take a deep breath right now. I don't want to see nobody pass out. The sap, Brother Allen, the sap flows from the roots to the leaves. Everybody with me? Not from the leaves to the roots. Brother Ken, let's just talk for a minute. I've been a whole lot of places where they is way more concerned about the leaves. Yeah. I've been a whole lot of places where they wanted you to look like a perfect little tree, but they wasn't real worried about how deep your roots was running. Now, I want you to listen to me. You can spend all your time trying to make your leaves green. You can spend all your time trying to put the berries and the apples on your limbs, but you better be more concerned with what you've got going that way than what you've got going that way. Our strength is not in our leaves. Our strength is in our roots.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, if you ain't careful, you'll hang out around the church house. You'll get looking around everybody around you. And you'll start faking leaves so you fit in with everybody. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost of God does not work from our appearance inward. Thank God He starts down there in our roots and He works His way up into our lives. I bless the Lord tonight that the Holy Ghost does what He does. Listen to me. The majority of what He does down there where nobody ever sees it in the first place. Amen. Them roots are underground. They're covered in dirt. Ain't nobody sees what's going on under the ground. But thank God, He runs them deep enough. After a while, it'll start to show up here somewhere. The strength of that sap, it literally flows from the roots up into the tree and to the leaves. Now watch this. It heals the scars. It holds the strength. But watch, here's my last little thought. It helps the substance of the tree. Here's what I'm trying to say. The sap, glory, is what produces the fruit in the tree. Can I tell you that God allowed us to be planted in His forest? So that we might bear forth fruit in the kingdom of God. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Thank God it is, listen to me, it is a natural thing for an apple to put out, for an apple tree to put out apples. It is a natural thing for a pecan tree to put out pecans. And ladies and gentlemen, if you and I are saved by the grace of God and the Holy Ghost is working in our life, thank God there will be some fruit manifested. But it's not up to the tree to produce the fruit. It's up to the sap to bring that fruit to the surface. Ain't that good? That's good preaching, even if I am the one doing it. Amen. That sap produces that fruit. Now, here's what I want you to get. Look at me. Look at me. Y'all give me a few more minutes now. Look at me. Here's what I want you to get. That, y'all listening to me? That fruit is already down in that tree. It's already there. When it was an apple tree, when that seed conceived in that dirt and it sprouted out, it was there. Oh, bless His name. There was already apples down in that little seed. But now that seed has got to have some sap. And that sap is going to push to the surface what's already in the seed. Look at me right here. There are some things in this Christian life that are not cultural. They're biblical. Let me try that one more time. There are some things that are not cultural. They are biblical. Somebody said, well, we don't worship like you do in the South. Let me say something. My worship don't have anything to do with being born in the wonderful state of Georgia. That's an honor, thank God. That is a privilege. But that's not why I act like this in church. That's not why I sweat and holler and scream, turn red and tear. That's not why we raise our hands. That's not a Georgia thing. That's not an Alabama thing. That is a Bible thing. Hey, listen to me. Long before Mom and Daddy ever built a plantation house in the South, David was already leaping up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Long before a preacher ever got behind the pulpit and bowed it, thank God they was erecting pulpits of wood, and they's reading aloud, and they's crying aloud in that Bible. I know some of y'all think I'm joking right here, but that is a lie hatched out of hell that worship is a cultural thing. It's not cultural. It's biblical. I got more Bible for shouting than you do for shutting up. Amen. Brother Bud Stiltner said it like this one time. He said, I ain't a charismatic, but I ain't a Catholic neither. Amen. You better mark it down. What we do over here is not because we're uneducated rednecks, though we are. That's not why we act like this. We act like this because that Bible's full of shouting. It's full of leaping and praising God. It's full of fiery preaching. It's full of tears and worship. It's not cultural. It's biblical. You know why I do this? Because it's just kind of true God made me to be. Hey, I didn't pick my shout up by watching cable television preachers. And by the way, let me tell you something. If you spend any of your time bringing in a bunch of junk off the satellite from a preacher that's trying to milk you out of your money, praise God. Hey, as long as Outdoor Life offers a television station, what are you doing wasting your time in front of that booth? I didn't learn how to shout watching a TV preacher. You want to know where I learned to shout? That sap inside of me. Hey! I said that sap inside of me started pushing stuff up out of me that I didn't even know was in me. But I got full of sap and one day fruit just started popping out. Listen to me right here. I preached God's, bless me, I preached all over this country. I've watched folks in Washington State, way over yonder on the other side of Alabama, Washington State. Go to Birmingham, take a left, drive 6 days and you'll be there. I've been in Washington State and I watch saints of God. And I couldn't quite understand it, but it was something like, amen. Amen. It sounded like they're headed in the right direction. I preached in upstate New York, and watched them Yankees weep and praise God, shout and holler. Listen to me, it ain't about being from Georgia. It's about being from the family of God. I preached in little old basement churches in Albania. Little old dirty orphans and widows and poor farmers. They never had been given a class in Southern Shouting 101. But they had lived all their life believing and trusting in Allah, only to find out that He was not real, but Jesus was. They got saved by the grace of God. We got a little old basement church about half the size of this set of pews right here. I watched a little old widow woman that had never been to Dixie. I watched them raise a little hanky and cry and weep and walk around that church and hug necks. Listen to me. That don't come from being in the South. That comes from being full of the sap of the Holy Ghost of God. Any of y'all, I'm trying to hush. If y'all want me to stop, quit acting like you're having fun. Y'all are enablers. That's what the professional people call you. You are enablers. You make people act like this. Y'all, does anybody remember the first time you went to church and it was so good it made you nervous? Somebody said, yep, tonight. Said, yeah, I never will forget it, just like it was tonight. Amen. How many of you remember the first time you went to church and folks was having such a good time, you thought there's got to be something wrong with these folks, but you found out there was something right about them. Can I tell y'all about the first time I ever went to church and seen people enjoying the presence of the Lord? We was in a little old Friday night revival. Little church up in Tunnel Hill, Georgia. And I grew up church all my life. We had a good church. It was a good church, but it wasn't like what we got in that night. I was sitting on the front row in that little building, and there's these folks up there singing, and I don't even know what they're singing. But this old lady on that end of the church, she got real happy about what them folks were singing about. She got up on this side, got a little hanky out, and she looked like a teapot that had been left on the stove too long. And she was blowing off steam all the way across the front of that church. Brother Ken, she got over here where I was. And I didn't really know what was happening, but I was tuned in real close. She come right here, she said, and whatever she was shooing about, she flung it on this old boy right here. He jumped up one leg and he ran out the side door. I still ain't never seen that man again. Best I can figure, he's probably somewhere around Ontario, Canada right now. Still screaming and hopping on one leg. I was sitting down there, look kind of like some of y'all do tonight. Big-eyed, open-hearted. And I remember thinking, I don't know what's going on, but I sure do like it. I had never seen nobody's teapot go off in church. And I never seen nobody go one-legged out the door hollering like their britches was on fire. Something got a hold of me sitting there that night. And I thought, dear Lord, this is how it ought to be done right here. Because I've had that same stuff in there, but I didn't know you was allowed to let it out. Boy, them folks worshiped that night, and they shouted, and they prayed, and they cried, and I sat there like a sponge in a bucket. Anybody remember that experience in your life? When you found out you didn't have to go to church, be dead, bored, dried up, and checking your wristwatch every 15 minutes? Hey! Forgive me, I'm a little carnal. I wouldn't go if that's what I had to do every Sunday. There's too many deer in the woods and bass in the river for me to hang out with a bunch of people wristwatch shaking church members. Amen. And I watched them people worship and I watched them shout. And something down inside of me was a bearing witness with what they was doing. We went home to our church, non-tea kettle Baptist church. And I was sitting there on about the third row. And this fella got up. He's a soldier. His name was George Brimer. Big old strong soldier from over in East Tennessee. Brother George got up with no music, no piano, no nothing on Sunday morning. We had a good church. It was a good church, but it wasn't nobody one-legged going out the door. Brother George got up and he started singing, I'm kind of homesick for a country. And something down inside of me said, me too. And he starts singing, to which I've never been before. And I got to thinking, no, but I bet we're going one day. And now, I'm trying to keep in me what's trying to get out of me. I'm doing them Baptist aerobics, you know, where you just... I thought I'd nod my head and see if that helped, but it just shook it up. It just. And that old boy was a singer. He got there on that course. He said, I'm looking now across the river. And before I knew it, amen, hallelujah. Old lady sitting in front of me, Sister Martin, God bless her. She whooped around in the pew. Are you all right? Are you all right? I think so. Feel a little better now that you asked. You know what I found out that night? That morning, I found out there was something in me that the Holy Ghost was trying to push out of me. And I found out that it's a real natural thing. When we get to talking about the things of God, for a hand to be raised and a tear begin to flow. I found out that when the sap starts moving in me and when the fruit starts coming to the surface, a hallelujah is all right in God's house. And if you're a child of God, listen to me. No matter if you're 7 or if you're 70, if you're a child of God, they stuff down inside of you, and if you'll let the Holy Ghost, He'll push it out of you. He'll start pushing out stuff like love. And people you used to hate just because of what they look like, you'll find out you love them now. Folks that you used to went across the supermarket aisle to shop around them, you'll find yourself in church walking up to them. Boy, it's good to see you tonight. You'll find out that people that don't look like you, something down inside, you'll start to love them. And people you've been taught to hate all your life, you'll find out that they just flesh and blood like you and I, and that love will start pushing out of yourself. You'll find out that down inside of you there's gentleness and there's meekness. And you'll find out there's joy. And all at once, the Holy Ghost in you, He's not necessarily putting stuff in you. He's pushing stuff out of you. And now, I've been pruned a time or two. Somebody holler amen. Yeah, I've had some pests. I'll give you the name and show you their Facebook page later. Praise God, if you want to see. I've had some pests that got under my skin. And I've had some pollution, some poison that I let in. But boy, I'm so glad there's been enough of the sap. And I've been through some storms where we touched the ground a time or two. But I came up stronger when the wind died down. And now there's some things coming out of me that I didn't even know was in me because the sap is pushing it out. I want you to stand up with me all over the building. Okay, Brother Jared does invitation. Come on, Jared. Get ready to sing something, buddy.